Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, a couple of days off, and you're not really off in the world, are you? Wherever you are off to, you've got internet. If you have internet, you're never off. And so I was not off, but I was on a deep Caribbean research trip. And sometime today, I will report on the Muslim incursion into the Caribbean, courtesy of Barack Obama. That's right. You know nothing about the mosques, nothing about the scams, nothing about what the black people of the islands have to say about their Muslim brethren coming in. You'll find out all about it right here on the Savage Nation. But the main question is, do you still trust Trump? He is getting a beating like I've never seen, and he's still standing. And, of course, you can tell a man by his enemies. And when degenerate comedians, who are known for the most vile vomit to ever come out of a human mouth, call him Hitler, you know he's the opposite of Hitler. When you see the leaders of countries that are stealing us blind, robbing us blind, telling us that he's a terrible candidate, you can pretty much figure out why Japan, Korea, India are calling Trump a danger. It's a danger to them because they're robbing us blind. When you see a daily vendetta against Trump by the Daily News, on a level I've never seen such hatred for the kidnaps, the murders, the rapes, the burning of churches by the vermin who print the Daily News, not a word about it, and yet they hate Donald Trump. So you can tell a man by his enemies. I don't think his enemies speak for the American people. You see, they like America the way it is. The enemies of Trump like a weakened America that's being kicked around like a deflated football. They can't wait until someone can finally squash the last bit of air out of this football called America. Now, the fact of the matter is, Trump has a lot of flaws and a lot of weaknesses and a lot of baggage. There's no question about it. But if you look at who's moving over to him, he's very strong with Democrats in open races, meaning blue-collar white guys. Let me level a little bit with you, as I'm known for. I'll tell you what this election is really about in a few seconds. Trump is very strong with Democrats in open races, while Cruz is favorite only amongst Republicans. That's a very big story. Trump is attracting those, well, call them Reagan Democrats if you want, blue-collar Democrats if you want. Call them Democrats who know what's good for them, and they know Hillary's bad for them. They know Hillary will send jobs overseas, etc. So who is Donald Trump? He'll be on the show, by the way, in the third hour. And I'll open it up to you right now and ask you this question. Do you still trust Donald Trump? If not, why not? What has come up over the last few days from his critics or attackers that leads you to ask, hey, I don't know if I should vote for this guy? And you can call me at 855-407-2822. He'll be live on this show in hour three. Do you still trust Trump? And if not, why not? Again, I am just back from a deep visit into Caribbean islands that are very remote, and I will be reporting on the Muslim incursion into the Caribbean, courtesy of Barry Obama. Finally, and this is an interesting one, more interesting than the debates, which I can't take anymore, in my entire life, and I've been around a little while, I have never seen anything like this in my life. It makes me embarrassed to be an American. To see a circus like this generated by Rupert Murdoch and the idiots who run CNN, I forget his name, I don't know where he went. They come and they go, they're interchangeable. The result of their need to fill airtime to sell tissue paper and soap has resulted in a charade called town hall meetings, debates. It's absurd. They have stolen our government from us. The very people who have destroyed America, the media, the government media complex, the very people who have destroyed America have destroyed the political process by turning it into an endless Roman game. Now, having said that, I was on a group trip with four people, and someone brought a newspaper aboard, a publication called the National Enquirer. You say, oh, that's garbage. The National Enquirer does better investigative reporting than the New York Times and all of the American newspapers put together. The headline almost blew me out of my airplane seat. It's the front page. I've seen not one story about this in a single newspaper or on a single news show in the United States of America. It's what I was talking about when it happened. And here's the headline. Bombshell investigation. Supreme Court Justice Scalia was murdered! Not even a question mark. Inside, who did it, how, and their motive for murder. The secret evidence and police file. Why DNA was destroyed and there was no autopsy. Why body was found with pillow overhead. Why he was staying next to a brothel. Why his bodyguard disappeared. So you read the story, and they're not asking questions. They're not even hedging their statements. How could they not be sued for libel? If these statements are all false, then why have they not been sued? Why has the publication of this bombshell story that Scalia was murdered, how come it has not been pulled? How did they get away with publishing it? Murder by a hooker. Prostitute hired by shady CIA figure injected the jurist with poison. He knew some of the deepest secrets about the Obama administration. Oh, yes. Yes, it all leads back to that nice guy with that nice family, that thin man who secretly smokes packs of cigarettes, your friend and mine, Barack Hussein Obama. National Enquirer blows wide open one of the biggest political scandals ever to rock the White House. The White House. And we will be talking about that a little bit today and a lot tomorrow. But remember, the National Enquirer published it on their front cover. Ask yourself why it has not been picked up by any other newspaper, not one television feature. I've seen it nowhere. And yet they make definitive statements in this article. How is that even possible? How is it even possible? Because we're blowing in the wind now. Because the media has us where they want us. They have us bamboozled into thinking that if we watch another phony town hall meeting between Sanders and Clinton, we're going to get to the truth. We're going to get no such thing. So let's tell you right now, the topic today is primarily, do you still trust Trump? If not, why not? Because I've seen a lot of negative stuff over the last few days. The Daily News in particular is more vicious than I've ever seen in my life from any publication in the world. The Daily News is worse than any communist newspaper ever published in the history of the Soviet Union. It's outright hatred and bigotry daily. Why? I don't even know why. I thought that the owner of the Daily News has Alzheimer's disease. So I don't know what the thing is here. They hate Trump and the Daily News. I know they're appealing to the immigrant mobs that de Blasio has flooded into New York to make him into the racist that he isn't. I get that. I mean, who buys newspapers today anyway, is the real question. So they're appealing to the lowest common denominator. Hitler, this, everything is Hitler. Every other day it's Hitler. They didn't have such words to say about ISIS. They had no such words to say about the most vile men on the planet. But Trump is already Hitler. And was Scalia murdered? That's right. But the main thing is this. I asked you, do you still trust Trump? And if not, why not? I mean, you have to, this is a conversation. Don't just say, yeah, I trust him. No, I don't trust him. Don't come on the show with that. And Jim, don't take anyone who gives me a one-word answer. I'm not their brother-in-law. I'm not here taking a phone call while eating a tuna sandwich. It's a national radio show of great distinction. 22 years in the business this March, the Savage Nation. Call me with some intelligence. Okay, the Thinking Person's radio show? Well, show you can think. Show the audience that's listening that you're not a moron. They all, oh, you're a knuckle-dragging Neanderthal, no education. You're not as smart as the drug addict pervert who is an entertainer. Only the entertainers know everything. A phony like that idiot, Leon DiCaprio. He wins an Academy Award and he gives a speech about global warming and the idiots eat it up. He flies away in his private jet to a, if it was not a family show, I'll tell you what he flew off to and with who. But you can put two and two together. Let's just say he's a playboy. Let's make it real light for the family. Little light for the family. The playboy flies off on his private jet to a yacht with a bunch of girls to, I guess, study the catechisms of Catholicism with priests on the ship. And he gave you a lecture on global warming, and they ate it up, the drug-addicted children. Leo, oh, he's so great. He's for the environment. And Hillary is so wonderful. She's for women, and she's for the environment, and she's for the poor. You know, I see these children, these college children, they look like unformed yeast buds to me. 18, 19, 20, there's no character or lines on their face. And I'm not laughing at them. I pity them, how they've been manipulated by the communists in the universities, and before that in the high schools, and the communist teachers in the junior highs, and before that the communists in the elementary schools. They brainwashed these poor children. There was a story a few weeks ago with a YouTube of a bunch of kids on a school bus. So three or four minority girls had said that white people were beating them on the bus after calling them the N-word. Well, they investigated it. They got the videotape of the bus. It turns out that the dolls who said that they were beaten up started the fight by beating up the white kids. And so the minority girls who put in the false racism report were arrested. But the point of my story is, I looked at the faces on the YouTube from the video, and I see the white kids looking around. They look like total sheep, like little sheep waiting to have their throats cut. They don't know anything. You can't hate children for being naive. You cannot hate children for having been brainwashed and drugged by a very, very sick society. But all you can do is try. People say to me, why do you even try anymore? Just give up. There's so many of them. There's so many illegal immigrants and legal immigrants who hate the country and want everything for free and want to step on the flag and spit on the Statue of Liberty. Why don't you just stop, Mike? The answer is because Mike doesn't stop. God stops Mike. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COI. So the piling on is amazing. I've seen more hatred leveled at Donald Trump than against Adolf Hitler by the so-called sensitive elites. The very same elites who turn a blind eye to the rape and pillaging of Christians by Muslims in the Middle East have nothing but hatred for Donald Trump. You have to ask yourself, hey, Savage, didn't you write a book in 05 entitled Liberalism as a Mental Disorder? Yeah, I think I did. And I explained the optic chiasma, and once it's damaged, you see things upside down. And that's how a degenerate comedian, like a guy named Louis C.K., one of the most vile, filthy mouths in the history of the world about women like you've never heard. Vile, the filthiest mind and mouth I've ever heard in my life. A sick man, a mentally ill man, in my opinion, calls him Hitler. So what does it tell you about a sick, degenerate comedian? A man who is mentally warped like you've never seen, hates Donald Trump. Why? What's it his business? All of a sudden he's political? So you have to ask yourself, why? What is it that's provoking this in them? And I think I have the answers, because, you see, to some, Donald Trump is the great white hope. And to others, he's the great white dope. You could say you heard it first on the Savage Nation, as usual. You can quote me, but of course you won't. Just rip it off. I've become Abby Hoffman. Steal this idea. Before it leaves my lips, it's already on someone's Facebook page. That's what I love, but it's fine. To some, he's the great white hope. To others, he's the great white dope. But I have some of the most intelligent people on earth as my friends, who I don't see often, but they email me, they text me, and one of them is a genius author, and he said his elite friends in New York City are protesting. They're quaking. He says, my intelligentsia friends are hemorrhaging against Donald Trump. He said, those of us who have lived some life, who know the streets, who understand that while the refined, even thoughtful language of a Thomas Jefferson is ideal for declarative documents or for defending unmerited arrogance, as with Obama, the common approach of an Andrew Jackson well suits actually governing. And then he quotes, listen to this one carefully about Andrew Jackson. Observers likened him to a volcano, and only the most intrepid or recklessly curious cared to see it erupt. His close associates all had stories of his blood-curling oaths, his summoning of the Almighty to lose his wrath upon some miscreant, typically followed by his own vow to hang the villain or blow him to perdition. Given his record in duels, brawls, mutiny trials, and summary hearings, listeners had to take his vow seriously. Close quote, H.W. Brand's Andrew Jackson, His Life and Times. So he said, Trump is like Andrew Jackson, and that's why he's popular right now amongst real men. I don't know what women think. I know why women liked him in the beginning. They may still like him for the same reason. They feel vulnerable under the creep Obama. They feel like the Statue of Liberty has been mutilated, if not outright raped, by Obama. And they feel frightened because of the Obama vermin who have flooded America with the third world refuse that no other country wants. And don't tell me they all come here to work. I am the son of an immigrant. And I will get up on my high horse and tell you that not all immigrants come here like my grandfather to work. Most of them come here to rip the system off. And while they're doing it, they don't even appreciate the country. They hate you. They spit at you behind your back. Don't think I'm making it up. I'm not blind. I don't have to go to the New York Times to find out what I'm supposed to think. I know reality because I grew up in the streets. I didn't grow up in the boardroom of the New York Times like Mr. Sulzberger Jr. That putz couldn't run a bagel shop if his father didn't give him a newspaper. Or that moron at the Weekly Standard, another genius. He couldn't keep a Carvel stand afloat if they gave it to him to manage. He'd be out of business in 3 months. The Weekly Standard turned on him, too. So who does he like, Romney? What a great choice that is. Here he comes. Here he comes riding high in his Palomino with no legs. His toy horse, Mitt Romney.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
To some, he's the great white hope. To others, he's the great white dope. And now, look, I got to tell you something. I've supported Donald Trump from the get-go for the reasons I've described on the show. For 22 years, I've been proposing that borders, language, and culture define a nation. I saw not a single candidate carrying those words, those ideas, not one. Instead, we got garbage. Garbage fakers. Bush 1, Bush 2, Bush 3, Bush 4. Then we got Romney and then Gingrich. All phonies. Phonies one after the other. McCain a fraud through and through. One after the other stabbed us in the back. We gave them the power and they took it and ran us over with the wagon. So then you got a guy like Trump comes along and say, well, you know, you're being used. You know, he's just telling you what you want to hear. He's a demagogue. So, well, there's a degree of truth in that. I'm sure he's a very skilled orator. No question about that. He's a skilled negotiator, skilled orator. And he's telling us what we want to hear. For example, a new study comes out that says 61% of the American people are opposed to immigration. First time in history. 61% of Americans agree that, quote, continued immigration into the country jeopardizes the United States. Commissioned by management consulting firm A.T. Kearney. 61%. The last time such a survey was done on immigration, as recently, in fact, in 2002, the Harris poll found that only 1% of Americans mentioned immigration, including refugees, when asked to name the two most important issues for the government to address. So in 2002, only 1% said immigration. I've been hammering immigration from 1994 on with borders, language, culture, one book after another, borders, language, culture. Instead, we got open borders, New World Order, destroy America, one after the other. Phonies and con men. Finally, 61% of Americans agree with me that continued immigration into the country jeopardizes the United States. Now, I got to get into this in much more detail because this is not just a white issue. And you got to understand that. It's easy to say, well, yes, white people are afraid that the country is going to be turned into... No. It's much deeper than that. You see, we wouldn't even be discussing immigration if the immigrants who are coming in were productive citizens and were not inordinately using the social services that are here for we the people, and they were productive citizens, and not a whole lot of them were in prison for felonies. 29% of all prisoners are illegal aliens who committed deep felonies and got prosecuted and convicted. That means they committed a lot more felonies that didn't get prosecuted and convicted. So people say, well, we're not stupid. We live in the real world. We're not those in the boardrooms. We're not those protected inside the beltway. So they want immigration stopped. So you think about it. What is the single issue that brought Trump to your attention? Immigration, build a wall. Immigration, build a wall. Build a wall, immigration. When they attack him, he says, now the wall just got 10 feet higher. Okay, we like hearing that stuff. We want the wall. We really want it badly. We don't want to see happening to America what's happened to Europe. We don't want to see a bunch of weaklings and cowards throwing the dignity of their nation to the wolves of the Middle East, letting them rape and pillage and rob and God knows what they're doing over there. You know it's not made up. It's a firestorm that's going on in Europe. And the only way they can stop the people from expressing themselves, the communists who run those countries, and make no mistake about it, Angela Merkel has been, is, and has always been a communist. She comes from Eastern Europe. She's been a lifetime communist. She conned her way into the presidency, the chancellorship of Germany, and then she put a knife right into the heart of Germany itself. She cut the manhood out of Germany. And when men and women march in the streets of Germany, she calls them Nazis and fascists. And now with her help from Mr. Undershirt, Zucker, whatever his name is, Zuckerface, they want to ban anyone who criticizes immigrants from Facebook. You talk about Facebook fascism. So I don't want to see that happen in this country. I want to see a flawed man, a flawed, angry barroom brawler get up there and beat our enemies to a pulp. I want to see them cowering in fear. I want to see all of those who have traded us into oblivion. Look what the Japanese did to us. You want to go back? They sold TVs here. They were good TVs when we first bought our first Sony. We loved them. But do you remember we used to have American-made televisions? Sylvania, DuPont, they were good TVs. They just beat us technologically. No, they out-traded us. They bought congressmen who were cheaper than what? The congressmen are bought for less money than most call girls, by what I can understand. A high-priced call girl costs more money than the average congressman to do a favor. They bought congressmen who let them dump TVs on our shores for less money than it cost them to produce in Japan. And they did it for one reason, to drive our manufacturers out of business. Then they went after the autos, one industry after another. Then along came the gangster Clinton regime. The criminal Clinton regime came along, and entire factories were picked up out of Michigan, Ohio, the central states of America. The industrial heartland of America was destroyed under the Clintons. And here she is again, marching around like the savior. Marching around like the savior. It was her and her husband's policies. NAFTA, GATT, all those policies. I was in radio at the time. She let the Chinese buy entire manufacturing plants down to the last lathe. Most of you don't even know what a lathe is. They bought the lathe. The last lathe in a machining factory. And the Chinese shipped the entire thing over to their home country and started to make all of the steel objects that were once made in this country and drove all the manufacturers they could out of business in America. And that's how the so-called Rust Belt originated. You think it happened by accident? The Rust Belt didn't just happen. The Rust Belt was made by the Chinese, by their friends in Congress and in the newspapers who let it happen. And so this is a very big election. What we're all saying is we'd love to see this stopped. We want our factories back. We want our jobs back. We want the H-1B visa stopped. And it's one of the things I'm going to ask Donald about. Point blank, third hour, you listen to see if I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say, look, Mr. Trump, I've been supporting you from the beginning. But a lot of things have come up here, and a lot of people are very disturbed. And the number one item on my agenda is this H-1B visa program. You said at the Thursday night debates that you would extend the H-1B visas to immigrants. What do you mean by that? You mean you're in favor of doing what Rubio and Cruz and the Democrats want to do, which is continue to bring in people from India to drive our IT workers into oblivion, Mr. Trump? And the other things. Do you understand that? Don't just think it's going to be an I love you interview. No, no, please don't confuse me with someone I'm not. Don't do to me what's being done to Donald Trump because I'm used to it and I know how to fight back. I've had what's being done to Donald Trump done to me from the day I started in radio. If you think this is something new, you're mistaken. For 22 years, this March 22nd, for 22 years, I have suffered the very same abuse And then they ignored me. At first, they attacked me viciously. And then what they did was they got very Soviet about it. And the next thing that they do is ignore you and make believe you don't exist. But apparently, there's an awful lot of you who love the show and a lot of you who buy my books. So apparently, the message is resonating. Never forget that no matter what you hear, this show is the number one radio streaming show in the United States of America. I don't care what anyone says. Data doesn't lie. Look up Talk Stream Live. Michael Savage, 25% share of the entire talk streaming audience in the country. Rush Limbaugh is number two with a 13.7% share. What does that tell you? It tells you that an awful lot of people, especially younger demographics, who listen to radio on iPhones and Androids and other devices, are tuning into this program. And they're not just tuning in to hear about my lovely dog, Teddy, or where I ate, or where I went, or how I feel that day, although a lot of that is part of the show. I get it. Right now, I feel pretty good. I've been away. I'm back. And I'm going to report soon on the Muslim incursion into deep Caribbean islands you never heard of. You will not believe what I heard from local black people, livery drivers who were born in the islands, whose ancestors lived in places like St. Thomas, in the U.S. Virgin Islands. You can't believe what these guys... See, I talk to everyone because wherever I go, I talk. I don't care if it's a cab driver. That's where I learn. I don't learn from books. Well, I can't wait to tell you that story, what the cab driver of St. Thomas told me. I felt like I was back in the South Pacific, and I know how to talk to people, whether it's in their my English, their English, bit of this, bit of that, a bit of French. I heard what they had to say about immigration in their islands. Who's ripping them off, how their own government is corrupt, selling them out to the invaders. I heard the same story going on there. Would you believe it? The same story. So this is not a racial issue. This is not a racist issue. This is not a class issue. This is an economic issue at the end of the day. This whole election is an economic election. It's really about the money. Because if you tie it all together, it's all about economics. So you say, well, who benefits and who loses from a flood of immigrants into the country? I'll let you figure it out, why the average person wants immigration stopped. Because they're the losers. Take a guess who wants the immigrants to come in. The winners from it, those who get the cheap labor. The ones who were supporting Rubio, for example. Now let's go to a caller or two. I've been on a little run here. Back the first day, I tend to give it all up. And we're going to talk today about this issue of Donald Trump. Do you still trust him? And if not, why not? And an hour two, what do you want me to ask him? An hour three, I want to take your questions. I know what I'm going to ask. And then, was Scalia murdered? I don't understand how in the world the National Enquirer, which is a pulp fiction kind of thing, does better research than the New York Times. They couldn't say Scalia was murdered and show facts about hookers and drugs and needles and CIA without getting sued. I don't know how they did it. How could they just do it without getting stopped by the Scalia family? In other words, if everything they said on the cover, Scalia was murdered, wouldn't they have been sued and stopped? But they weren't. Why? Why did the Scalia family stop the Inquirer from publishing it? Well, we'll find out a little tomorrow. These are big topics. WDDQ Radio, Georgia. John, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, 3 weeks ago, I finally came to the conclusion that Donald Trump was real. And after this weekend, with what Newt Gingrich said, I'm willing to go to jail to vote for Donald Trump. And I know that sounds weird, but I'm a convicted felon.
And well, let me back up. First of all, I'm not a fan of Newt Gingrich. I think he's one of the worst people in the history of American politics. One of the worst. He stabbed Romney in the back. He destroyed Romney. He gave He gave Obama's people every piece of opposition research imaginable about Mitt Romney and destroyed Romney. Then made believe he didn't do it. Is that why you don't like Newt Gingrich?
Well, that and two is just a girl. I'm tired of girls telling me, taking my money, and then lying to me. At least if Donald Trump ends up getting us in the end, at least a man got me.
So, John, what felony did you commit that landed you in prison?
It was a strong-arm robbery when I was like 19, and then after that I got into some pills and stuff, and it was nonviolent after that. And listen, it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it made me who I am now. But
right,
listen,
so let's say you're one of the bare-knuckle, tough kind of guys in America who's completely dumped on by everybody in society. They hate you. You're considered the worst kind of white man. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Listen.
All right. Also, no, let's just... hey, let's just have it out. You're the kind of white man nobody would ever have on Fox News. They hate you. They dismiss you as non-existent. And then it's you, though. It's Eddies like you, as I've said for 20 years, who fought Hitler. It's you who fought Hitler. It's you, the everyman, who defeated the Superman. It's you who kicked in the doors of Auschwitz. It's you who fought the Japanese on Bataan. It's you who fought the Japanese on Okinawa. It's you who defeated Hitler. And you are hated by the elites. They're the same people who hate Donald Trump. I'd like to hear some applause from the audience. John, did I just touch a raw nerve?
Oh, yeah. Listen, you pumped me up. I'm serious. I'm willing to go to jail. All I got to do is put a Hillary t-shirt on, go down there, and I can vote for Trump 20 times, you know? That's what the Democrats do. They vote 500 times.
All right, my friend. Listen, John, I'm going to send you a copy of Government Zero. I'd like you to have it. Just stay on the line. Ex-con supports Trump, tired of wimps, period. Pretty straight. Supports Trump, tired of wimps. I'm sure the Weekly Standard would disapprove. Why, they don't exist. These tattooed white guys with muscles. We don't need them. Garbage. White trash. Filth. They don't belong in our club. They don't belong around us. They're nothing. Yeah, they're nothing. They're the backbone of America, you idiots. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica. Borders, language, culture. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about the main topic that everyone's talking about. I mean, I was in a remote island in the Caribbean. I was buying some seashells, as a matter of fact, from a little stand by a local black guy who was born there, I'll be going back 10 generations. And he, out of nowhere, he said to me, big guy, he says, well, what do you think of your Donald Trump? He didn't say it with any derision, incidentally. He said, well, I said, I like the guy. I said, he's going to save America. And all he did was laugh. I don't know whether he agreed with me or disagreed with me, but I didn't change my politics to appease some guy on an island. And then when I got to St. Thomas to fly home and I took a taxi with a guy who I'd got to know a little bit from the earlier ride, I asked him about the Muslims in the taxi business. He said, oh, man, he said, I follow all the rules. He said, I pay U.S. income tax even though we're a territory. He said, they don't pay anything. He said, they change their names and go home to their home country with all their profits. He said, they pay no money, man. They undercut us. Oh, you should hear the story. Now, this is a black guy in St. Thomas telling me, a white guy in the cab, in a quiet voice, what he sees going on in his island. And you look around, you see mosques going up on the hills of St. Thomas. Now, what's intriguing is you don't see the same thing in the British Virgin Islands. So you ask yourself, why are Muslims suddenly all over the U.S. Virgin Islands and almost nowhere to be seen in the British Virgin Islands? Why? You look at the White House, and you see a guy who is named Barack Hussein Obama, who many think is sympathetic, if not outright, practicing Islam. We hear that directors of various big agencies have converted to Islam secretly, that they're hiding it. And you look around the country, you don't know what nation you're living in anymore. You know, where did America go in 8 years under this deceiver, this anti-American deceiver in the White House? How come you haven't seen any exposés in the Daily News about Obama's crimes and misdemeanors? How come you haven't seen anything about Hillary Clinton and her crimes and misdemeanors in the New York Daily News, Mr. Zuckerman?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, flag or sleep all deep. Here come Tuesday.
It is the Savage Nation.
I'm so tired, got no time.
Donald Trump will be with us in the next hour to answer questions from his critics. Everyone's dumping on him. some true, some false. I've seen hatred directed at him that I have not seen directed at ISIS itself. I've seen more hatred from the Daily News directed at him than I have seen in my entire lifetime put together, aimed at all the dictators on the earth. You have to ask yourself why. Ask yourself why they hate him so much. New survey says 61% of Americans don't like immigration. In 02, it was 1%. Now it's 61%. Then I wake up this morning and I see this article from Reuters by Mark Hassanball, Ahshad Mohammed, and Matt Spitalnik. Foreign diplomats voicing alarm to U.S. officials about Trump. Foreign diplomats are expressing alarm to U.S. government officials about what they say are inflammatory, insulting public statements by Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump, according to a senior U.S. official, blah, blah, blah. Recent conversations, they don't like Trump. They wouldn't disclose a full list of countries whose diplomats have complained, but two said they included India, South Korea, wonder why, Japan and Mexico. So these are countries that are out trading us, robbing us in essence, destroying us. They destroyed our television industry. India, in particular, floods us with young IT workers that are unemployable in India because there are no jobs for them. No wonder India doesn't like us and doesn't like Trump. What if Trump slammed the door shut on H-1B visas? What would that do to the undershirt that runs Facebook? What would it do to the undershirt that runs Facebook if Trump said no to H-1B visas? And he said, no, we're going to train American IT workers. You stay home and you work on programming in India or whatever you do. India doesn't have jobs for them. Mexico isn't it? Mexico is mad at us, too. No wonder the diplomats are complaining. Mexico? What are they going to do with all the poor that they have to take care of themselves? Japan? What's Japan going to do if they can't dump their products on us in a trade war? South Korea, televisions, flat screens. South Korea destroyed China, by the way, with the flat screen manufacturing world. Did you know that? It was South Korea and China that outdid Japan, destroyed Japan. Japan once led the world in flat screens. And then they overextended themselves and built a $1 billion plant, Japanese did, just as the liquid crystal or such flat screens was starting to be manufactured for less money in China. So no wonder Japan hates us. Several leaders in several countries, including Britain. Oh, what a great nation that is. Britain. The land of the Magna Carta to the Magna Phony. Britain hates Donald Trump. The same country that banned Michael Savage for speaking about borders, language, and culture. The same cowardly bunch of punks in Britain who let Muslims in and say, kill the Queen. And you'll be converted to Islam. That they let scream in the streets. The gutter rats wrapped in dirty rags. Britain, my God. What Britain? Where is Britain? People go to Britain. They come home. They say they see the Brits walking around with their heads down. In their own country. They throw it away. Britain. Mexico. France. Canada. Nations without pride. Spineless men. No men. All criticizing Trump. German economy minister Sigmar Gabriel branded Trump a threat to peace and prosperity. Can you believe this? Germany? Where's Germany? They've criminalized nationalism in Germany. So that explains where the anger is coming from. You know, I said to you before, you can judge a man more by his enemies than by his friends. So these are some of the topics. Trump to answer critics on the Michael Savage Show today in Hour 3. If you have a comment, 855-407-282. Do you still trust Trump? If not, why not? I mean, they've been really piling on. What questions do you want me to ask him in Hour 3? And finally, and tomorrow will be a big one, was Scalia murdered? Huge story not covered by a single phony reporter on Fox News. Not even CNN will touch the story. What if it was, well, I can't even say it. What if it was a liberal who was found with a pillow over her head? Under strange circumstances near a brothel. Do you think that they might cover it around the clock? But Scalia, they don't cover. Well, the National Enquirer did it as a front page story. Don't dismiss the National Enquirer so fast. Because if what they said was a pure lie, they wouldn't have been able to publish it. The Scalia family would have stopped them. So they're afraid to even take it on in a court of law. Think about it, idiots. Think it through. if what the Inquirer is saying, Scalia was murdered, and they run it as a major story, and the hooker, and the injection, the whole thing, you say, well, wait a minute. If there was not even a shred of truth in it, they would have been stopped. But the people who don't want you to even think about it didn't sue the Inquirer, did they? So that's going to be a bigger story tomorrow, I can guarantee you, as we wait for the primaries tomorrow in Michigan, Mississippi, Idaho, and Hawaii. And we know which way Hawaii will go, the welfare state, that's a given. Puerto Rico just voted for Rubio. I wonder if his last name had anything to do with it. I wonder if the fact that Puerto Rico was a basket case and a welfare state had anything to do with why they love Rubio. You don't have to be a genius to figure that one out. But let's go to the callers. Giovanni on KSFO in my hometown of rainy San Francisco. Giovanni, you are on the Savage Nation. Giovanni, what's on your mind?
2 weeks ago, you gave Trump awesome advice. You told him, turn the questioning back on these hack moderators. What does he do in the last debate? He falls for it. I watched the debate, and I waited for Trump to give a line like, I'll release my taxes when Hillary releases the emails. You've been giving him an advice, and he's not taking it. And
well, that's 100% true. That's 100% true. And don't think I haven't expressed such feelings to his handlers.
He is talking different. His message feels different.
Yeah, he's gotten much, much nicer.
Yeah, it's not working. And since you've been gone, I'm so glad you're back, because this is crazy. This last debate, everything has shifted. I know he's getting a lot of hate towards him, but how he's handling that hate is not the Trump that we saw in the beginning.
So you would rather see him counterpunch rather than sit there and take it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he had every opportunity in this last debate. I was waiting several times. Instead, he came up with, which I respect him, my trust is still for him, and I will vote for him without a doubt. But the problem is his message is being lost. And once that message is lost, what's left? He's just a man at a podium.
Yeah.
In one-liners.
No, I'm saying, well, I told him 2 weeks ago, stay strong. Don't moderate. Don't moderate your positions. Don't go moderate. Keep punching. You're the great hope, man. You got to stay up there as a strong man, and you got to keep punching. Don't get weak. But his handlers told him something else. I fear the worst. I think he's being advised by the people who advise Romney, frankly.
Please.
I have no way to confirm or deny that, but I sense that something has shifted as well. Giovanni, did you miss Michael Savage the 2 days I was away?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? I couldn't wait for you to get back.
Okay.
One of the things that I wish you would please bring up to Trump is, I know you have to watch what you say, but his advisors are way off. This is not the same Trump that we all love, that we all watched and went to the polls for. He's just totally different now. I respect him, but he's falling into traps.
All right, Giovanni. I'm sure that one of them is monitoring the show as we speak. And I think that they're listening to what the people who his primary base audience are saying. I want to ask, well, I can even ask my audience another question, which is, do you think I'm having Donald Trump on the show too often? I don't. He's the number one issue in the whole campaign because he's upset the entire world order. He's upset the world order. Of course they hate him. They're terrified of what might happen if they have no control over the stooges called politicians. Cruz, lifetime politician. Rubio, puppet, lifetime politician. Trump, wild card. Wild card, liable to do anything at any minute. No one knows what he's going to say next. Owned by nobody. That's what's scaring them. What if he actually does that? Martha, what if he actually builds that wall with Mexico? What will happen to the cost of our factory workers? Martha, what will happen if he actually stops B1, H1B visas and we have to train American workers to work in the Silicon Valleys around America? What will happen then, Martha, if we create trade schools and train kids who might want to work in tech industries and give them a job instead of people from India? What will happen then, Martha? What if he stands up to China and does put tariffs on their goods, Martha? What if he actually gets militant towards some of our enemies and goes in with B-52 bombers and decimates ISIS and kills them all in their training camps with their wives and children?
saying that's what they did in World War II and that's how we ended the war, and that's the end of it. That's war. Would you rather we bomb them or they bomb us? What if he does that? Sit here quaking in your boots waiting for them to put off a dirty nuke in New York City, God forbid? Then what are you going to do with all of your fine feelings? You know, as I said many times, one nuclear weapon can ruin your day. A nuclear weapon doesn't distinguish between whether you're a progressive or a conservative, whether you're a Nazi or a communist. A dirty bomb does not discriminate, my friends. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
Here's what I know. Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University. He's playing the members of the American public for suckers. He gets a free ride to the White House, and all we get is a lousy hat. His domestic policies would lead to recession. His foreign policies would make America and the world less safe.
Really, Mitt, tell us about Bain Capital. And tell us why you as a weakling threw the election to Obama when you had it in your hand. Tell us who told you to throw the election, Mitt. See, you wouldn't get away with that with me, Mitt Romney. You're on my show and you talk like that? He's the phony? He's playing the American public for suckers? I remember the three debates, Mr. Romney. You won the first one. Obama looked like the moron he really is behind the scenes. He looked like a stumble bum. He couldn't answer one of the questions. He looked terrified. He looked like a... Well, he just looked like a lost soul. You wiped the floor with him. Then somebody took you aside, Mitt, and they said, throw it, Mitt. You got to go down for the Gipper. You got to go down for the Gipper, man. You got to go down for the Republican Party. You got to throw the second and the third. And the second and third, you went on the mat. You let him knock you out with a push. So don't talk to me about phonies. The whole pack, a bunch of you Republicans, belong in prison. Every last one of you belongs behind bars for what you've done to we the people. We voted for you twice, you liars, you frauds, you Mitch McConnell gobblers with that gullet. You look and sound like turkeys, all of you. Look what we gave you and look what you did to us, you phonies, you. You know, if a doctor performs surgery and cuts the wrong nerve or artery, not only do they lose their license, if you could prove beyond malpractice, you could put him in jail. How about a politician who cuts the wrong artery? How about a politician who goes in like a surgeon and cuts the wrong nerve and leaves you a cripple? That would be John Boehner. Where is he, by the way? Where's that loudmouth fraud, that stumblebum drunk, that crybaby with the pink tie? Where did he ever wind up after throwing the election? He wins the election, John Boehner, and then disappears. He retired. Where is he? I never saw a man disappear so completely and quickly from the public arena than John Boehner, other than Scalia. Scalia disappeared more quickly than Boehner, that's true, because they killed Scalia. But Boehner's still alive, I understand, somewhere in Jacksonville. They keep him shicked up. They keep sending him the cases of the Johnny Walker, sitting there on the balcony. That's all. You see you see that type on vacation wherever you go. The white legs, the good time Charlie, that's all. That's what he did to us. John Boehner, another conservative. No, the American people actually mean what they say and say what they mean, and they don't want the country to die on them. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Obama has almost destroyed the country with immigration. I go down the whole litany, but I'd rather not. And I can't fathom, how come we've not seen such exposés on Hillary's crimes and misdemeanors? How come we haven't seen such an expose of vile hatred like this about what Obama has done and still doing to us? How come? Beware the government media complex. 1998. Commonwealth Club. Important speech. Ignored by the political class because it was given by me. Commonwealth Club. 1998. Beware the government media complex. Michael Savage. That's the answer. That's the question. Now let's go to KSFO. Scott, welcome to the program. You want to talk about the H-1B visas? Please do.
Michael, I've been in the software consulting business. I place software consultants with my clients throughout the country. when I started years ago, about three-quarters of the people I placed were what I would call natural-born Americans, okay? Now, three-quarters of the people that I place on my clients are from India. Many of them have been here long enough that they're now citizens or green card holders, so they've been here a while. But one of the things I think a lot of people don't realize, the reason why there was a big shift, I go back to Ronald Reagan, God bless him, he started the technology drive in the United States. Unfortunately, the American culture and people and young people did not jump into technology and want to learn technology. Now, I've got millennial kids, right? None of them have gone into software. I was hard-pressed over the years to find an American, a young American, old American, whatever American.
The point you make is valid. I'm not going to argue with a man who actually works in placing people in the IT industries about the H-1B visas, but there's a missing link to what you're saying. And that is, why have we not created trade schools in America to train the legions of tech workers that we need? A sane government that cared about its people, which Obama does not, would have had a Manhattan Project to create trade schools for crash programs to train IT workers. Wouldn't that make sense?
We want to be careful. Of course, big government doesn't help anything, and a government creates...
Oh, wait a minute. No, please. Let's not now try to defeat my statement, which is commonsensical, with a canard of the big government, small government. A government can be very, very helpful in creating certain things. Believe me, it's not all bad, my friends, like the military, run by the government, isn't it?
He has neither the temperament nor the judgment to be president, and his personal qualities would mean that America would cease to be a shining city on a hill. I'm convinced America has greatness ahead.
Who writes this rubbish?
And this is a time for choosing. God bless us to choose a nominee who will make that vision a reality.
So this Schmendrick thinks he's going to run again? They've asked him to come and take a fall again for America? That's what he's good for. Hey, Romney, come on, take a fall for America again. You did such a sterling performance the first time around. I'm sure you could do it again. Come on, stand up and make believe you're going to win against Hillary and take a flop again. Take a fall. Joe Palooka. Mitt Romney, Joe Palooka. Where do they get this kind of writing? Who writes this trash? America would cease to be a shining city on a hill. So what he's saying is, under Obama, America is a shining city on a hill? Does America look like a shining city on a hill to you? Is that why there's such contention in America right now? Because it's such a shining city on a hill? Words like this, high school level. If I were a high school English teacher and someone wrote that, I'd give him a D. I'd say, I think it's been used by Ronald Reagan. Next, we'll hear the shining stars, a thousand stars, bright lights from George Bush. That'll be the next that Romney can come with. A thousand bright lights. Boy, these Republicans really are Schmendricks. I mean, I've never been a Republican. Let me be very clear to you. I don't have to use the old Groucho Marx joke, but it's true. You know, I mean, they're all the same. They're basically the same. Country club Republican, check pants Republican. You know the crowd. You know what they look like. You know the type they are. Well, anyway, that's Romney. He's their boy. So naturally, a wild street fighter comes along, like Trump, with his flaws, with the pimples, with the scandals behind him, and they're terrified that they won't be able to control him. Most importantly, again, I told you in the first hour, it's all about the money. The money won't flow into the hands of the Republican establishment. It'll go into other hands. The consultants, dead, finished, no more work for them. The grift, all of the grift coming up into the Republican hands, gone, if Trump wins. Gone. Mort, dead, finished, finito. Nada, nothing, garnished, zero, goes into the hands of K Street, over. So of course they're going to put out PR saying he's Hitler. He's Mussolini, Hitler combined. What they mean is that they can't get any money out of him. It'll go to his friends and his cronies. That's all it means. Nothing else. It's all about the money. Make no mistake about it to them. What do you think it's about? They love America? 855-407-282. There's not an open line in the house. Everyone missed me very badly. They couldn't wait till I came back. I can't say I didn't feel the same thing, but I'm back. I'm not going to... let's say overdo it today. In about 25 minutes, Donald will be with us on the Savage Nation. I'm going to ask him some very hard questions because many people have attacked him so viciously
and many of you are starting to waver a little bit, I'm going to ask him to put some of these questions to rest in plain English. Okay, it's that simple, because tomorrow the primary is in Michigan. I'm a dominant voice in Michigan on WJR, listening to me right now in Detroit on that great station. Mississippi, Idaho, Hawaii. So it's a big day tomorrow. Donald will be with us to take my questions and yours. How long, I don't know. But I'm going to ask question number one all over again. Do you still trust Trump? If not, why not? And what questions do you want me to ask him in hour number three? And the Scalia issue, why have we read nothing about it? What is this about? How could this be possible? A Supreme Court justice dies in a remote location near the Mexican border under suspicious circumstances, and there's no autopsy. The body's rushed away by the Secret Service. And no one asks a question. Brett Baer, another Pulitzer Prize-winning genius. Brett Baer, the most trusted name on Fox News. Not a question about it. No one. Wolfie Blitzer. Wolfie Blitzer. Oh, on Wolfie. On Wolfie. Wolfie, what did you do? How did your mother produce you? How could you be such a great deceiver with those blinking eyes? Little old nice Wolfie. And Jake Woodtapper. Jake Woodtapper, another reliable source. Not one question about Scalia's death. Investigative journalists are dead. There are none in America, except maybe here and there, like in the National Enquirer. A friend of mine said the reason they haven't been sued and the reason they do better research in the National Enquirer than the newspapers in America is because they pay very high money for the sources. They pay big money, and they verify their sources, or they get sued. They would have been out of business. That's all. But nah, no big deal. Just let Obama put another left-wing fanatic on the court. 855-407-2822. We're talking about a big topic. It's the first question I'm going to ask Mr. Trump. Right off the bat, I'll tell you right now, I'm not hiding it. I'm like a professor who's going to give you the questions in advance. And I hope Donald's interested enough to listen to the show before he gets here. I doubt it. I think he's working around the clock. And one of the things I'm going to ask him about is that at the last debate, Mr. Trump, you implied you wanted to expand the foreign worker program or H-1B visas. And the next day, your campaign released a statement saying that that wasn't the case. Mr. Trump, where do you stand on the issue of H-1B visas? Bingo. First question. So don't accuse me of going soft. I'm not going to play softball. I'm going to play real ball. I don't have to be one of these gotcha guys to be decent at my job. You see, there's a difference between softball and gotcha, and that's called reasonable. A reasonable question doesn't mean I have to sit with that snide face of Mr. Meatloaf Jr. there on Fox News. You know, if there was a punishment for having a snide face, he'd win the prize. The one his name, I don't know his real name, the father was the meatloaf guy, threw a meatloaf at the parking meter woman in New York. He sneers on Fox News. I hate guys who sneer. You know that snide face? I hated kids like that in school. They always sneered at you. I don't remember his name. Malachowski? Walachensky, right. Mike Walachensky. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. A sneer job. KSFO Muhammad, thank you for calling. What's on your mind, Mr. Muhammad?
Hey, Michael. Hey, yeah, I'm very happy that that's going to be your first question to Trump. I was pro-Trump, and when I heard about the H-1 visa deal, it sort of has me wavering. I've been in IT for 20 years, and I've been a hiring manager, and I've hired and fired. One of the things that we used to do is we used to take our kids graduating from college, we used to grow them into the positions that we wanted. What companies have found now is that they can lower the price of that position, they can lower the salary, they can hire some guy from India who's semi-talented and use him for that position rather than growing the children that are graduating.
Unbelievable. Muhammad, you know, you're a blessing for me on the show for three reasons. But you work in the business, your name is Muhammad, and you agree with me. So I have a question for you. What would an educated American IT worker who is being laid off by Disney or Zuckerberg, what would they be making an hour? And what's the hourly rate for someone from India?
Well, an educated IT worker who is experienced, such as a senior programmer, would probably be making around $55 an hour. If you go to India, they're saving on the benefits, so they're paying limited benefits. They're also saving on the salary, so they would probably get around starting $15 to $20 an hour.
Wow. So Zuckerberg is paying $20 an hour instead of $55. $58 billion in a fortune is not enough for that prize from Harvard?
These greedy people are policing the country and they're not reinvesting.
So they are traitors. It's exactly what I've said for years. They're not Americans in that regard. They're traitors, every last one of them. They're buccaneers. They're pirates. The pirates of Silicon Valley.
And please don't let them they're lying to Trump that they need these people. They don't. They're not growing our college graduates. They're not growing our own children into these positions, which is what we always did.
Muhammad, you know, when I went to high school, I've told the story before, in Queens, New York, in the late 50s and 60s, there were three tracks in school. There was the academic high school, like I went to Jamaica, you know, academic. There was then the commercial high school for children who wanted to go into the commercial world, like as a secretary, a legal secretary. And then there was the trade school, where the kids learned how to be plumbers, carpenters, electricians. If we created the trade schools today that we had then, but made them more technologically oriented, we could create an army of workers, couldn't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the argument is ridiculous because it's like saying, oh, we have to go to India to get factory workers because we can't find anyone to put caps on bottles that are experienced. No, you teach them how to put caps on bottles. This is how you invest in your...
And you take the lazy bums off welfare and say, put a cap on a bottle or you'll starve to death.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's that simple. I mean, of course they'd rather stay home and make more money doing nothing except complaining about America and collecting a welfare check and food stamps and government cheese and a government phone instead of working their behind off in a factory. I worked in a factory. I know how horrible it is, Muhammad. I worked in an ice cream factory. I almost fainted from exhaustion. But I did it. I did a lot of things in my life that I didn't like doing. And by the way, Muhammad, I still do many things I don't like doing. That's called work. When did it, you know, in America, you're supposed to love what you do. Where'd that come from? Who said you're supposed to love work? That's like a 1960s hippie thing. Work means not loving it. It means going to work and coming home exhausted. That's all, and making money. Muhammad, God bless you. Thanks for calling the show. Quarter to the hour. I'm back on the mainland. I was away a while. I'm back here. Donald Trump is the issue. He'll be with us. I'm going to ask the questions that I mentioned to you. The first one is that one, which is the IT issue, the H-1B visa issue. If we have the time, I'll ask him a few other questions on the program. And you know what? I didn't send him the questions in advance because this guy can have the answers, bingo, right there. He doesn't need a teleprompter. He's not Obama. He's not little Marco where he needs a teleprompter. He's not going to get up, whatever I ask him, an answer with the Constitution and then John Hancock. The other one, Cruz, whatever you say to him, a Constitution like a Boy Scout, a little Boy Scout, give him a uniform. I hereby swear on a stack of Bibles I'll follow the Constitution on and on and on. Constitution, day and night. Fine. You want to hear it? Keep hearing it over and over again. I heard it 100 times. I have a little copy of the U.S. Constitution. You didn't write it. I love the people who think they wrote the U.S. Constitution. They themselves discovered it. Miraculously, it was discovered 5 years ago by Ted Cruz. He discovered a little-known document on his own called the U.S. Constitution. He holds it up like he discovered it. No one else ever heard of it. No one heard of it in college, in high school, junior high school. He discovered it, Ted Cruz, on his own. Astounding that people are getting away with. So this is going on and on and on and on. The Republican establishment is in free fall, terrified nightmare. They're even dredging up the corpse. Romney, he's going to run now. That's terrific. That if Trump gets the nomination, he's going to run. Can you believe this? I suggest to Romney start running right now to Canada. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. Some is the great white hope. To others, he's the great white dope. Welcome to the program. Donald Trump with us in a few minutes on the program to take some hard questions about his policies, which are confusing even his most ardent initial supporters. And we've got to set the record straight. It's that simple. This is a turning point right now. Tomorrow with the primaries in Michigan in particular, okay, Mississippi, Idaho, Hawaii, and this show's heard in every one of those states as the number one streaming talk show in America with a 25 share. Do you know what that means? Well, no one's going to tell you what it means. It means 25% of all people who stream radio shows, 25, one out of four stream this show. Rush Limbaugh's number two with a 13.7 share. Do you understand what that means? Forget about the fact that you don't see me on Fox News very much. Now you know why. Forget about the fact that you never see any mention of my name in the newspapers. Now you know why. Forget about the fact that I'm banned from entering the British Kingdom, United Kingdom. Now you know why. Now we read this today. Saudi commentator, racist demagogue Trump is worst GOP candidate for U.S. You hear this? This is the Saudis. The most racist nation on the planet is Saudi Arabia. The most racist nation on the planet. They treat women like garbage. They cut your hand off if you rob a piece of bubble gum. They stone women to death who commit adultery while they're the biggest runarounds in the world when they can get away with it. They drink booze behind the tents there, the closed doors. See how the Saudis behave like pigs whenever they travel in the world. Like the worst degenerate playboy pigs in the world. Now they're calling him a racist demagogue. So listen to this. By Aaron Klein and Ali Waqid of Breitbart. Aaron's a great guy. I don't know Ali. Says, an immensely influential Saudi columnist ranked the U.S. presidential candidates on his Twitter account, all dependent on how this year's election season may be perceived by Sunni Muslim elites across the Arab world. Khalid El-Dakhil, a columnist for the London-based Al-Hayat Pan-Arab newspaper and associate professor at King Saud University in Saudi Arabia, tweeted this, quote, for the Arabs, the worst candidates are first and foremost Donald Trump, who is a racist demagogue. This is coming from a Saudi, no less. And then Senator Ted Cruz, one of the most radical neoconservatives. This is coming from the most right-wing government in the world, Saudi Arabia. And the best candidates in the eyes of Arabs are Clinton, who was a moderate Democrat. You hear this? And then Senator Marco Rubio, little Marco, who is a lot more moderate than Cruz. He said, Trump poses a significant challenge because of his, quote, overt racism and disregard for democratic values, which tarnished the heritage of Abraham Lincoln's party. This is from a Saudi Arabian. What does he know about Abraham Lincoln, who freed the slaves? They still have slaves in Saudi Arabia. They're called foreign guest workers. They treat them worse than you could ever imagine. He said, it seems like it's going to be Clinton versus Trump. Referring to Sanders, El-Dakhil wrote that his foreign policy will be even more hardline than Obama's, of which Saudi Arabia has been very critical. The Democratic candidate Bernie Sanders is leftist, he tweeted. His social policies are enlightened, but his foreign policy seems isolationist. Well, what's interesting is that he's calling Sanders' social policies enlightened. How do gays and lesbians fare in Saudi Arabia? Does anyone know? How could this man write a thing like this and expect anyone to not break out in laughter? Well, it's the same way that a degenerate psychotic comedian in New York, one of the worst, sickest minds in my day, in 1950s, a guy like Louis C.K. would have been put into a straitjacket and kept in a mental hospital in Queens and given Thorazine around the clock for what comes out of his filthy, dirty mouth. He's so demented that only Howard Stern could have glorified him. That's how sick he is. He's so sick that only Woody Allen could have cast him in a movie. And this man called Donald Trump Hitler. My friends, you can tell more about a man by those who hate him than by those who support him. And let me tell you something. So far, Trump's doing real good because the very people who hate him, I hate more than they hate him. How's that? That work for you? I hope so. I'll be back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Right to the chase. We're all very busy people. And let me just say this right off the bat. I've been in this business 22 years this March, thank God. I have never seen such hatred directed at a single man as I see against Donald Trump. No one is perfect. I see more hatred on a daily basis coming not only from our enemies, but from newspaper people in this country who say things about Trump that they wouldn't even dare say about people who murder, kidnap, rape, torture, sell young girls into slavery. The Daily News was the worst. I read it over the weekend. I've never seen anything like it. And so I want to talk about that on the Savage Nation with the man himself who's being attacked. Donald Trump, welcome to the Savage Nation. Donald, how do you take such abuse?
It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. The Daily News, it's owned by a lightweight named Mort Zuckerman. He's, just one of these guys, doesn't know what the hell he's doing. The paper's going to close soon.
But the Daily News is run by Zuckerman. I thought he had Alzheimer's disease.
Well, he's got a problem. And to be honest, I mean, I hear it's closing very soon. But, you know,
Donald, let me lay my cards on the table. From the beginning, I have supported you, and I still do. but with this relentless assault on you from every quarter I can imagine, and from people I could never imagine saying these things, some are losing faith in you because of these assaults. I'd like to clear the air today with a few questions. The number one issue for me and for many of them is the foreign worker program, or H-1B visas. On the last debate, you implied you wanted to expand this program. The next day, your campaign released a statement saying that that wasn't the case. Where do you actually stand on H-1B visas, Mr. Trump?
To keep it down to a minimum, we don't want to have it. Like, we right now, our job situation is a disaster. When they asked me that question, it was mixed up. It was a mixed up question, and, you know, it was improperly asked. But our job situation in this country is an absolute disaster, because, you know, the 5% rate they talk about is actually probably 25%. The real number, unemployment number, is probably 25%. We have to get jobs for our people first, and that's just not what's happening. You know that better than almost anybody.
But Donald, listen, in Silicon Valley, you got guys like Facebook's founder who are hiring, he's hiring H-1B visa guys from India for $20 an hour. He's firing American IT workers who are making only $55 an hour. It's astounding. I had a headhunter call me who say that's outrageous. He's only doing it for profits. There are plenty of American workers who could do the jobs. So why would you expand the H-1B visa program?
This example is Disney, what they're doing. They're having people train these people, and after they're trained, they get fired.
No, I know that. So I'm saying, if you become president, which I hope you do, would you tell the American people that you're going to knock out the H-1B visas for a while, let Americans train for the jobs?
We have to get our people working first, Michael. Before we can do anything, we have to get our people working. But, you know, Disney went out. You saw what happened with Disney. They had people training these people. After they were fully trained, the people that were doing the training were fired.
No, I know that. That's why I'm asking you the question. All right, let's put that aside. During an interview on CBS, you talked about having to fight ISIS, fighting fire with fire. And I happen to agree with you, by the way, because they're not fighting by the Geneva Convention rules. Can you clarify your position on having American soldiers torture them in order to get information out of them? Where do you really stand on that?
Well, that's clear. That was always clear. That was never a change. Look, the question was asked to Ted Cruz, and he didn't want to get involved in it because he thought that waterboarding is so terrible. Then they looked over to me, and I said, absolutely I want waterboarding. I absolutely want it. Now I'm talking about within the laws, but I want to expand the laws to include waterboarding and to include worse than waterboarding, because what we're doing is we're fighting people that have no rules and regulations, and we're putting all these rules and regulations on, whether it's torture or whatever you want to call it, and how are you going to compete with an enemy where they have no rules and regulations, and yet we put all these restrictions on? So I said, and I got a tremendous ovation when I said it, I said that as far as I'm concerned, waterboarding is fine, and frankly, I'd like to expand it. Now, you have laws, but they don't have laws. You know, we have laws, Michael. They don't have laws.
No, I agree. It's like going into a boxing ring, and one guy's following all the rules of boxing. No low blows, no hitting behind the belt. The other guy is kicking him in the you-know-whats, giving him rabbit punches, hitting him in the neck. How can he win that fight?
The guy's allowed to walk in with a machine gun, and we're allowed to walk in with nice, soft gloves. So that's what we're doing.
All right, so you're saying take the gloves off and just kill him, and that's the end of it. Otherwise, they're liable to kill us. You know, I've said this before, Donald. I was banned from Britain for asking a rhetorical question, which was, what would you rather do if a group of radical Muslims got their hands on a dirty bomb and you had the opportunity to kill them before they killed you? What would you do? They said, I said kill 100 million Muslims. I never said that. So I'm used to this kind of slam, Donald. Believe me, I know what they do.
No, it's terrible. They'll take what you say and they'll totally change it. No, what I say is we have to widen our, you know, hey, look. The concept that we have laws and they don't, number one, is no good. Okay, it's not a good situation. But we live within the laws. We have to widen the laws so we can do things to do what we have to do. Michael, it is so ridiculous what we're doing in this country. And then you wonder why we can't beat ISIS.
A new poll came out that said 61% of Americans oppose immigration. It's an astounding figure. It explains your popularity. That's why the Republican establishment is going berserk. That's why Mexico and Japan and South Korea, who are robbing us blind, have attacked you viciously. And so I understand why they're attacking you, because they're afraid of you. You're actually trying to make America make money. They can't have that since they're robbing us blind. The crooks don't want to stop robbing us. Now, why are the Republicans attacking you more viciously than Hillary? How come she gets off scot-free with her scandals? How come we haven't heard a thing about Obama's scandals? What kind of country am I living in, Donald?
It's an amazing. I've never seen anything like what's going on, Michael, to be honest with you. I've never seen. But the polls are very good, and we seem to be doing very well. We're, you know where I am now? I'm in Mississippi right now. And tomorrow we have Mississippi, and we have also a very big one tomorrow is Michigan.
Right.
And there's nobody been better about cars than me. I'm going to bring the automobile industry back from Mexico and all these places that are taking our business. So I'm going to be bringing it back. So I think nobody's been better to Michigan than me. And now
right. I have a huge following on WJR in Detroit, Michigan, and all the other states. Before you go, Donald, you're a businessman. People don't understand business. Socialists like Bernie Sanders, who never ran a corned beef stand, don't understand that business means some businesses succeed and some fail. So what they do, like the creeps at the Daily News, they come up with some of your ventures that didn't work, and they try to make it look like you're a crook or a bad businessman. What they don't understand is that business is a gamble. Some businesses work, some fail. Isn't that true?
But my businesses really work. And the ones that they have these little things, number one, they're still in business. I don't even know what they mean. They talk about a water company. They talk about these different things. I still have them. But my businesses work. I never even saw the thing in the Daily News. I mean, the good news, I guess not a lot of people read the Daily News, but my businesses work. Hey, Michael, I made billions and billions and billions of dollars. I started off with very, very little, and I made billions and billions of dollars. And
well, that's something that the college class of spoiled inheritance cases don't understand. Guys who say you inherited the money from your father, I happen to know from having read everything I could about you and your great father, was he didn't give you a lot of money. He gave you an initial seed loan, which you paid back. Your father was a great man, yet they even smeared him. Here's a man who built apartment houses all over middle-class Brooklyn and Queens, and they made him into a bad guy for doing it. So what more can you expect from these people? They've never built a thing in their life, Donald.
No, they're bad people, Michael, and they're liars. They're real liars, and it's a shame. It's a shame they can get away with it. But
now, I saw something positive, Donald. Trudeau, the left-winger in Canada, said, I'll work with Trump if he wins. He's smarter than I thought. He senses you just might become president.
Well, we're doing well. I mean, despite all this bad press, I have to tell you, the press is brutal. You look at what the New York Times says and all these people, and it's absolutely, and so, it's such lies. What they say is just incredible. And then when you call them to have it corrected, they agree with you, and then they say, but we're not correcting it.
Yeah, I've seen that my whole life. Look, this guy Trudeau, he's very smart. He's saying, look, I'm not an American, I'm a Canadian. He doesn't know who's going to win, but he said, I can work with Donald Trump if you win. So he smells which way the wind is blowing, and then he says about Americans who may want to move to Canada, if you become president, he's offering them Cape Breton and Nova Scotia. You know what? I'd pay one-way fares for all of the liberals on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. I'd raise all the money I could to give them one-way tickets to Cape Breton. Would you join me in that, Donald?
That's funny. Well, you know, it's interesting. I built many units on the west side, that whole city, from 72nd Street to 59th Street. They don't talk about that, by the way. They only talk about a water, or they talk about something else, which, by the way, I still have. You know, these companies that they said didn't, they're little companies. They're all little companies, but most of them are doing very well.
Yes, but the critics are those who never ran a business or tried business. So even if the companies aren't making money, the fact is that some win and some lose. Some win big, some lose big. Some win small and some lose small. That is capitalism. Last, business, we touched that. How about the health care? You seem to be leaning to more of a government-style control of health care. Would you grant health care to illegal aliens in this country?
No, I wouldn't. And frankly, I'm not. What I want to do is private. I want to bring, we want to knock out the lines. We want to do a lot of different things, Michael, so that we can have competitive private health care. And that's going to take care of most of it. Now, you'll have some people at the very, very bottom that just don't have money. And we go through Medicare, Medicaid. We go through some kind of a formula because we don't want people dying in the middle of the streets. But
Donna, listen, I've said this and people don't understand it. It doesn't matter. If you gave them government-subsidized health care, it would cost us less than what it's costing us now with them having 100% care in any hospital in America. I've gone in the ER room for problems of my own in California. You see them around the clock. They come in with a sniffle the next day with a broken hand, a broken arm. They get gold-plated health care. There are no limits on what they get, Donald. We'd be better off giving them some kind of program that was limited. Do you know that?
Right. What we have now is the worst, Michael. It's the worst of all, and it's going to die of its own volition, but we're going to terminate it. If I win, we terminate it, we replace it with really good stuff that's going to cost a lot less money.
What about Social Security, Donald Trump?
Try and save it, Michael. We got to save it. Look,
These people have been paying in for years. Now, we're losing our jobs. We're losing our money. Everything's leaving the country. You look at, hey, I'm in Mississippi now. They're complaining. They're losing our jobs. We're losing our money. Everything's leaving the country. You look at, hey, I'm in Mississippi now. They're complaining. They're losing so many jobs. I was in Michigan a couple of days ago. They're complaining. They're losing so many jobs to Mexico and to other places. We're going to bring back our jobs. We're going to make our country rich again, and we're going to be able to save Social Security.
Donald, before you go, I just want to repeat what I said here for 2 hours. Because of the vicious attacks upon you, a man is more clearly defined by his enemies than by his friends. And by that definition, you're in great company. Some of the sickest, most radical left-wing vermin in this country and abroad are ripping you to shreds. You know what? God bless you, because I don't like them very much.
Right, I understand. It's very...
All right, Donald, I wish you luck tomorrow in Michigan, Mississippi, Idaho, and Hawaii, and I hope you can come back to the Savage Nation and you don't forget me when you become president.
I will never forget you, Michael. You've been my friend, and I appreciate it. You've been so loyal and so great, and I appreciate it, Michael.
Well, I hope you didn't mind some of the tough questions, because people have been saying you got to ask him this.
No, thank you. I love those questions. I mean,
and I knew that you would, and I also knew that you wouldn't be afraid to answer them, because you're telling the truth, okay? That's the thing that they hate the most. Donald, I know you're really afraid of Mitt Romney. Tell us about that wimp. Where's that coming from?
The guy is the worst candidate probably in the history of presidential politics. He came out of nowhere. I mean, he just came out of nowhere. This guy disappeared 4 years ago. He disappeared. He didn't run. He should have beaten Obama easily. And now he gets up and critic. He should have used the same energy to go against Obama. Maybe.
Thank you. Right. If he used one-tenth of the viciousness against you, against Obama, he would have destroyed him in those three debates. He took a fall for the Republican Party because he beat him in the first debate, and then they told him to take a fall in number two and three, and the rest is history. Donald Trump, I won't keep you any longer. Thank you for being on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back, everybody. It is the Savage Nation. If you missed the interview, it's too bad. I think it was pretty good. I thought I was being realistic and strong without being vicious. I don't play gotcha with guests. Okay? I'm not on Fox News. I'm not the snide meatloaf guy who thinks that getting someone is the answer. He waffled a little. I'll be honest with you. I'm not deaf. He waffled on the H-1B job. He was strong on some of the other things. I get that as well. So you have to ask yourself, is he just another politician? Is he really going to deliver if we vote for him? And, you know, my intuition on this tells me the following. At least he's saying what we want to hear. The others aren't even saying what we want to hear. So he's already changed the discussion. He has already changed the dialogue to the extent that Mexico's running scared, Japan is running scared, South Korea is running scared, India is running scared. They're already saying we better watch out what we're doing, because if this guy becomes president, there's going to be hell to pay in plain English. So he's already changed the entire structure of things. And to see the corpse come out of nowhere, Romney, the loser, all of a sudden he's Mr. Tough Guy with a thousand points of light and the shining city on the hill, that same Schmendrick garbage we heard going back 40 years from the Republican liars. So here we go. He's changed the nature of the political discussion. Unto itself, that is a victory for those of us who have been on the front lines of these issues for so many years. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. Dismissed by all the other Republicans until now. Because Donald Trump has made an issue. Made them an issue. Made these issues an issue. But I heard, believe me. Do you still trust Trump after the interview? If not, why not? So who would you choose over him? That's a secondary question. Certainly not little Marco with the big hands. I heard little guys with big hands are not to be trusted. That's a joke for the back of the audience. Okay, come on. You're following the ins and outs of all of this. I heard little guys with big hands are not to be trusted. You know why. I mean, what a stupid thing that was. Where did little Marco get that one from? Is that an Adelson line or is that a Larry Ellison line? I don't know who wrote it for him. I don't know where it came from. K. Eugene in Oregon. Hey, K. Eugene. There, Marion, are you there? Gone with it. Next, when you hang up, I'm here, it's too late. Let's try another one. Get it ready on line 9 before we have another dud and I blow an artery. I blow a vein, another one I hit, and it's not there. I'm feeling good no matter what happens, even if it's the call screening stinks, the equipment fails. I lose my vision, I lose my sight, I lose my hearing. It doesn't matter. I'm already over the hump of the day. I feel good. I was on vacation for two big days. I didn't get a minute off. Not a second. The whole time I was away in obscure locations because of the internet, every minute, a book I'm working on, questions, editors, proofreaders, well, do you approve of this, do you approve of that, what about this, what about that? Not one second. I was working till midnight every night, and that's the way I want it, because I know I'm alive. I don't want to be a guy who gets up and has a drink at 6 in the morning. Breaking news on the Savage Nation. I know you've been holding your breath. Michael Bloomberg, the billionaire former three-term liberal mayor of New York, has decided against mounting a third-party White House bid. That means, my friends, you can still get your large fountain drinks. What that really means is he hired a liberal pollster who polled him in a number of states, and they found out no one even knows who he is outside of the Upper West Side. And he saved $1 billion. The worst. Rich New Yorkers on the left have destroyed the world. He's one of them. But you can still buy large fountain soda drinks. Don't worry about that. Everyone was waiting for him to run. What he found out is that people hate him. They don't hate Trump. David Show in his pollster, you hear? Went around and asked him these questions. No. Michael who? Doesn't he own face cream or something? Face Creamberg? No, Michael Bloomberg, the former face cream owner. No, I wouldn't vote for him. Say, so, I'm not going to run. Real genius. So now he can give the money, $1 billion, to Hillary Clinton that he was going to spend of his own money. Maybe he can get a little appointment somewhere. He could become the ambassador to Luxembourg if he wants that, something with horses, because it's an equestrian family. Maybe he can become an ambassador to Saudi Arabia. He might like that. Never trust small men with big horses. That's all I can say to you. That's funny in its own way. WBOB. Why am I laughing at my own jokes? Because that was funny in its own way. B.O.B., Jacksonville. Megan, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, I listened to the interview you had with Trump, and I got to tell you, this was one of the better interviews I've heard with Trump. I think I learned more from this short interview about his policies and things than what I normally watch. Because generally, it's, this person said this about you. What do you think? This person, what do you think?
Well, right. Then they say he's not substantive and he has no opinions. They don't ask him issues.
And one other point I want to make. Last week, I was still not sure who I was going to vote for. And I was leaning toward Rubio. Don't gag. Okay. But once Rubio started acting the way he was and people started attacking Donald Trump and the establishment did, I realized what was going on. I filled my mail-in ballot out with Trump, put it in the mail, and I am in Jacksonville, Florida.
Megan, you know, I watched Rubio. At the beginning, I was not impressed with him. I thought he was just a liberal front for Sheldon Adelson and Ellison and other forces that want unlimited immigrants in America, mainly H-1B visa holders. But then when he went berserk on the small hands and other stand, wouldn't stop, I saw the man as deranged. He's absolutely, I think he's as crazy as Glenn Beck.
He's got the establishment.
I think that Rubio should take a job working for Glenn Beck as a commentator. Because then you can trust men with small brains.
I just hope people wake up and smell the roses. If they don't, I'm afraid this country's done.
But that's what we all feel. We'll take Trump, as flawed as he is, because all men are flawed, as imperfect as he is, because all men are imperfect, as waffly as he is on some issues, because all men will waffle on issues if they're politicians. I think he's the last great hope that we have. Otherwise, all is lost. If, God forbid, she wins, it's over. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to start a new life. She will flood America with the third world refuse that nobody else would take in. She will do things that you can't imagine socially. She will destroy freedom of speech. There will be no end to the mischief that Hillary Clinton will impose upon the American people and upon America, Megan. That's my opinion. The time is 37 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Savage Nation. Let's take a little breather here. I don't want to break. I want to hear Rihanna, because it's a song I really like. There were other songs I liked that I haven't heard for a while because I wasn't available. I didn't watch TV for 4 days. You know what a shocker that is? Until I got home last night and watched Billions, a missed episode, 4 or 5.
It's okay, up and down on it, not bad. The creepy U.S. attorney is very well acted by that guy who I never liked. Could you play it already till I have a breakdown?
My love, you've never seen.
Feel when you go to work and you know you did a good day's work. You know that sense of professional accomplishment, the pride you have in your product, whatever it is you're. Whatever you do, I don't know what people do. I have pride in today's product. I feel like produced a great product today. I'm happy with the production. I feel like I'm going to have a good dinner and sleep well. That's all I can ask for every day. Do you know that? That's all I can ask out of every day. Is that what more can I ask? More? Want me to ask for more? I don't expect to be invited anyway to give a speech at some Republican convention or another fraudulent conservative convention somewhere filled with self-righteous phonies who slap themselves on the back that I'm more conservative. Hello, conservative. How are you? I'm conservative. How are you? Are you conservative? I'm very conservative. Are you more conservative? I'm more conservative than you are. I think he's more conservative than you are, but the fact is we're around all conservatives. We're all good people because we're conservatives, and the others are fake conservatives. We're real conservatives, and the only thing to worry about is who's not a real conservative because fake conservatives are worse than any conservative. How are you, Mr. Conservative? Can I buy you a drink? Are you a conservative enough? Wait a minute, I heard you say something. I can't buy you a drink because you may have been too liberal on that. He's a real conservative, but he's not here. The one who's really conservative is dead 100 years, but the second best one died, and his wife just died, and we can't let's drink to them because they're the only real conservative. I can't take it anymore. WVNN, Donna, welcome to the Savage Nation on line 4. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Well, first of all, I consider it a privilege that Donald Trump calls into your station and has these discussions with you. It is great.
It's not my station. It's almost 300 stations, but where are you calling from? What city are you in?
Well, I'm in the Frederick, Maryland area, but they don't cover you for the last hour, so I got...
Where are you? Which area are you in?
I'm in Frederick, Maryland, but I'm live streaming.
Oh, yeah, yeah. WMAL drops the show in the third hour to carry news. They got to have news. I have a guy like Trump on. It's bigger than any news. But okay, that's the way things work.
Yeah.
They can always carry it as a little piece of news somewhere in the show. Every station has a right to do what they want. I'm honored to be on for 2 hours, by the way. So what did you think about the interview?
I thought it was great, and I'm sorry for interrupting you. He has such mass appeal, and that's going to lead him to the White House. And as a rookie Savagette, I'm telling you right now, I can feel the tension in the air, and I think he just needs to stay the course.
Well, what do you mean you're a rookie Savagette? What made you a rookie?
Well, I've only been with you like 3 years, but I think you're terrific.
Oh, you're a rookie Savagette. I don't know how many people. I know some have been listening longer than 3 years. I think we have now over 30 of the millions of listeners I have. About 30 women listen.
I'm proud to be a listener, Dr. Savage.
I know. That's beautiful. Are you opposed to immigrants into America? And if so, why?
I am, because I am the granddaughter of an immigrant and whose family fought against communism. So I find what is going on unacceptable. It is a war against the American populace.
And here's my worst fear. If Hillary, God forbid, should steal the election because of Mitt Romney and the Republicans, she will flood America with Syrian refugees, and we will have what is going on in Germany and other European countries going on in this country. It will make what's going on now with the Mexican people baby talk compared to what's going to happen if she floods us with military-age men from Syria. That's what I fear the most. In plain English, thanks for calling. That's all. 855-400-7282. Now, I touched on a raw nerve, and only one or two people even heard me. I'm going to go back to it because it's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's the death of Mr. Scalia. I know you've forgotten it. I know you only want to talk about Trump, but when I was on the plane and one of the folks traveling with me gave me a copy of the National Enquirer, you can laugh, say, oh, he reads that. Yeah, I read that. I read a lot of things. And the front page says, bombshell investigation. Supreme Court Justice Scalia was murdered. Inside, who did it? How and their motive for murder? The secret evidence and police file? Why DNA was destroyed and there was no autopsy? Why body was found with pillow overhead? Why he was staying next to a brothel, why his bodyguard disappeared. So I open it up. I said, are they kidding? they're actually going this far when no one else in the media will touch the story. And I open it up, and there's pictures, reconstructed pictures. I said, is this real? It says, secret videotape of the prostitute from a brothel, deadly poison triggering a heart attack, staging the crime scene. Inquirer blows wide open one of the biggest political scandals ever to rock the White House. And it says what Obama has to hide. So I said, wait a minute. If all of this was false, they would have been stopped from publishing it by either the family or somebody else. They never would have let it be published. So I said, something's wrong here. The Inquirer's probe found that Antonin Scalia's body could have easily been flown back to Washington, D.C., for a proper investigation. Listen to this. And three Gulfstream jets that were available right there went unused. Instead, the body was secretly delivered to a far-off funeral home where the corpse was embalmed and bodily fluids were rushed away, flushed away, to prevent any further DNA analysis that could discover the poison. Now, we covered all of this when Scalia was found dead under suspicious circumstances. Do you remember the calls I got? You remember homicide detectives from around America called and said, Michael, if a homeless bum is found dead in the street, an autopsy must be performed. They said, how in the world could this not have happened for a Supreme Court justice? Why is it being ignored by the media, by Fox News? How is it even possible? Well, I got a few calls on it, but no one really is paying attention to this. WABC, Jack, you've been holding. Tell me why you think nobody will touch the Scalia death.
Well, I got to tell you, he's definitely been killed. I mean, if you followed anything, look, I'm around your age. I'm 55 years old. I watch a lot of TV. There was a movie once called The Pelican Brief. And if you follow that movie, they killed two judges about pelicans because they were going to kill the environment of pelicans so that they could dig for oil. This is a similar story. This is about guns. Guns. Because he was the only judge that would be on the panel that would only follow the Constitution 100%, and he wouldn't vigor from it. And that's exactly what it is.
How do you think the National Enquirer could publish such a story as a lead and it not be covered by any other publication in the entire country?
Because they couldn't do anything. They have evidence. I mean, first of all, there was no autopsy made, okay? But right off the bat, that should have showed you a sign of, uh-oh, what happened here? Now, did you know, I don't know if I follow this a little deeper maybe than you have, but did you know who owned the actual shooting range that he was on to kill these people?
You're losing me. Shooting range to kill what people?
Yeah, well, he went to a hunting range, okay?
Yes.
Owned by Obama's friend. Okay?
I don't know that Mr. Poindexter is Obama's friend. I know that Mr. Poindexter received an award for his service in Vietnam by Obama. I don't know if that makes him a friend.
There's a tie there. Okay? And the other thing, I mean, you don't
former,
know...
Wait, listen, let me reading from the article. Former Secret Service agent John A. Carman, they quote him now, chillingly told the Inquirer, quote, this death of Mr. Scalia has all the markings of a political assassination. He said the justice was killed to keep him from ruling on key upcoming court cases and to stop him from revealing explosive secrets that could rip apart Obama's legacy, sources said. Would you believe this?
Yeah. Listen, it's as straightforward as it is. You know.
All right, Jack. Well, you're the only one who called on this question. You're the only one. But let's go back to the bigger question, which is why do you think so many haters hate Donald Trump more than they ever hated ISIS? How is it that some of the sickest minds of our generation, who are so drugged up and so perverted mentally and so sick, that they would come out of their shells to attack Donald Trump? How? I'll let you figure it out when I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
I voted to save the auto industry. He voted against the money that ended up
saving the auto industry. Oh. I think that is a pretty big difference.
Well, if you are talking about the Wall Street bailout, where some of your friends destroyed this economy,
you know.
Through, excuse me, I'm talking.
Let him sprung.
Someone
if
shut her up.
Talk, tell the whole story.
Yeah, someone shut her up with that mouth of hers. Can you imagine living in a country with that hag shooting her mouth off? Like just the voice alone. This is the no wire hangers voice that she hid now. She's been able to suppress the no wire hangers voice. There, it just came out. Bernie brought it out in her. And if you don't know what I mean by the no wire hangers voice, Robert, can you dig up the no wire hangers voice? Just for a minute, don't play it. Tell me when you have it, because I want you to do this. Is a sound question for listeners of talk radio. Tell me if I'm wrong. I have one of the best ears in the history of talk radio. When I hear that voice that she's hidden till now come up, my mind, wait a minute, that's Joan Crawford and No Wire Hangers. Do we have the No Wire yet, Robert? No, not yet. You see, I always ask for things on the fly, which is what makes my show difficult to work for. But great to listen to. Wait. Okay, so start Hillary. Just play Hillary for 10 seconds. Let's hear the wire hanger Hillary. The Hillary.
He voted to save the auto industry. He voted against the money that ended up saving the auto industry.
You got a piece, a taint. You got a touch of it. Now play the wire hanger voice.
No wire hangers!
I'm sorry. It's an 80% fit. It's a match. It's a match. If you're doing blood matching, that's an 80% match to start with. But you do voice recognition. I can't believe it. It's Joan Crawford and No Wire Hangers. So Bernie Sanders apparently got under her skin in the debate, and she freaked. She reverted. They told her to suppress it. It's like the a movie reference from years ago you'll never remember, where a guy who has Hitlerian tendencies, he's a former fascist, he's wearing a business suit, he can't help but his hand starts going up in the Nazi salute, and he has to keep pushing it back down. And it keeps popping up. It was Peter Sellers in the movie. I forget which one. And he keeps knocking the hand down with the other hand because the hand goes up in the Nazi salute, and he knocks it down with the other hand. That's the equivalent of No Wire Hangers voice. It comes out like a devil. It's like the devil in Miss Clinton, and it's the No Wire Hangers voice. Well, on that note, I'll say thank you for listening. It's great to be back with you on the Savage Nation. Thank God for talk radio and the truth. I hope you enjoyed the Donald Trump interview and my questions. See you tomorrow.